What's up, sports fans? Happy Thursday. Happy opening day for you Major League Baseball fans. Welcome to Sports Breakers, presented by the Cinnamon Movie Podcast. I am your host, and I'm joined with the teammates. Kevin, what's up?
What's up, guys?
Craig?
Is that hot?
Craig's ready for football.
Blues, what it's up?
What?
Omaha.
Yeah.
It's been a week. It's been a
Tuesday.
Wings Day.
No, you know, today's Thursday.
Today is Thursday, but man, I think, you know what, one day before here, pretty soon, we should talk some of our favorite sports foods, maybe like a sports bar food, or, you know, I heard on the radio today, since it is opening day in the MLB, they were kind of discussing, like, would you guys rather go nachos or hot dog if you were at a live baseball game? What do you guys think? What would you pick?
Both.
Dog and a beer?
Both.
Craig, you look more like a nacho guy.
It depends. You know, I'm always down for a good glizzy. It just kind of depends on my mood. You know, nachos are more of like a delicacy. They taste good. But a hot dog is the more filling. So you try to go in with, you know, full stomach, or at least, you know, halfway full. And you get to enjoy the snacks there. But if you go in to eat, then you're going to be out of pocket a little bit.
Yeah, that's true.
Pretzel. Got to go with the pretzel, though, too.
Are you a pretzel and mustard guy or pretzel and cheese?
Gots to have the cheese, baby.
Got to have the cheese. Nacho cheese, you know.
Well, speaking of busy, the TV has been on nonstop, guys. Sweet 16 kicks off. It already kicked off. Arizona is hosting Clemson. Sweet 16 going on right now. Clemson is up 35-24 in the first quarter. UConn is up 19-14 against San Diego State. What a round two of basketball has been. Sweet 16 kicking off tonight. What do you guys is there any – the number ones play – both are playing tonight, North Carolina, UConn. Who should be more on upset alert tonight?
I was going to say, it looks like Arizona as the two seed, but I would say UNC is more on upset alert with Alabama.
Yeah, because Alabama is a pretty decent team. They got good defense.
Yeah.
So you think UConn will run away with San Diego State in the second half?
They're kind of starting to right now.
19-14 right now.
Yeah. So, I mean, we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah.
But some interesting games.
I think Clemson's going to pull out that Arizona upset, though. You know, the way they're playing.
The way it's looking right now. And then later tonight, the very late game, you have Illinois taking Iowa State. I'm going to call it right now. I think Illinois is going to take off Iowa State.
No, Illinois is hot. Iowa State, you know, they've played good in their games. They haven't, like, all these other top two, three seeds have really – there's been at least one game where they just absolutely blow out their opponent. Iowa State hasn't really had that.
No, they haven't had it yet this tournament.
So, I do want to brag on myself a little bit. Okay. I said Oregon was coming in to the tournament pretty hot. They should have beat Creighton. They had the last-second shot. They should have beat them. They almost beat them again in the first overtime, and then they just ran out of gas in the second. And I think I also said Texas A&M was coming to the tournament pretty hot, and they went and almost knocked off Houston. So, you got.
I was on my home way from work listening to that on the radio. The Houston game. It was
every year when you're making your brackets, you got to look at teams that are hot. Basketball is a game about being hot at the right time. You can look at the NBA playoffs and say the exact same thing. If you're hot going into the playoffs, we'll give an example of the 8 seed Grizzlies a couple years ago, knocking off the Spurs. They were hot coming to the playoffs. So I would look out. I don't think Houston is that talented as far as like matchup wise for Denver or some other teams. But Houston's hot. If they're able to get into the play-in tournament, they could make their way up to the 7 seed, 8 seed. So I would just look out for that. I think if they're in the 9-10, they can only make it to the 8. So
last episode, I believe we had was last Friday or last Thursday. So we were able to talk about round 2. And then Sweet 16 continues off tomorrow. NC State, Marquette, Gonza, Purdue, Duke, Houston, and then Creighton, Tennessee. So does that mean we have a whole week then of no basketball, and then the Elite Eight starts Wednesday, right?
The Elite Eight is next week. I'm not sure what day. I think it's Friday. No, it's Saturday, Friday. Sunday.
And then the Final Four is during WrestleMania weekend, I believe.
Man, so that means, Final Four is next weekend then, April 5th and 6th. Yep. April 6th and 7th, Final Four.
Yep, because you got Sweet 16 Thursday, Friday, Elite Eight Saturday, Sunday, Final Four next Friday.
Oh, damn, so Elite Eight is this Saturday, Sunday.
Yes.
Yep.
Dang.
Final Four is next Saturday, and Championship will be on that Monday, I believe, is what the date is.
Yep.
Yeah, it looks like UConn's running away with it right now. 27-18 after we just got done saying it was 19-14. So they look like they're going to probably take control of that. These two games may look like they're blowouts. What do you think will be the better game tonight, Alabama, North Carolina, or Illinois, Iowa State?
Oh, Illinois, Iowa State for sure.
Yeah. A lot closer. Yeah. They're similar to each other. They have a lot of similar comparisons. Alabama gets their defense going, they could run away against North Carolina. Mm. It could.
Or I don't want to say run away. I think the key to North Carolina tonight is their shooting guard, their point guard, Davis.
Yep.
If he's not able to hit shots, I want to say Alabama is fairly comparable in size down low. So it can become a game of, a gritty game of rebounds, defense, and – you know, who gets more turnovers?
It's kind of who wants it more right now between those two,
Let's get into the next topic. Last night, it's trending right now, NBA, bad call last night. Before we get into that, Oklahoma City lost to the Rockets. But, Craig, I'm sure you probably heard about it. I'm sure you did too, Kevin, about that bad call. You guys want to talk about that?
Well, let's talk about... Yes, the bad refs. How is Chet Holmgren going to play 18 minutes when he hasn't fouled out at all this year? 18 minutes? Seriously? You want to talk about fixed or rigged? The NBA is riding the Houston Rockets' 10-game win streak because before Houston got hot, there was no storyline. It's we have 1 through 10. It's just where are they going to finish? Yeah. So now – Houston's right on the heels of Golden State. You had Draymond getting ejected last night.
First 4 minutes of the game.
There's a storyline. There's something around the NBA going into the playoffs, and it's not just where these teams going to be seated. So I think the NBA. We've had plenty of NBA players talk about. I believe it was like Evan Turner and some people with Philly at the time talking about it's game 7 versus Boston, and he was like, man, I'm ready to win this game, and they're, you know, his teammates saying like, if we want to win, we have to win by 15 to win by 1. You know, they know who they want to advance. And if you want to advance being the team that they don't have planned, you have to show out and show up to make them, you know, you have to force their hand to you basically have to actually make it your own way. And I do thoroughly believe it's a hot take, you know, because a lot of people give WWE, you know, stuff about this. But sports are rigged, man. I don't want
to. Oh, it's kind of scripted. It has to be.
It's – come on now. Like
– I think there's just so much money involved now with betting. I think it's just – it's – you know, and I still think to this day some NBA referees are still more involved with betting than the whole Donahue thing, right?
They have a much bigger hand in the game compared to NFL referees.
Yeah. And I think, you know, somebody asked me today, you know, do the referees have that much control of the way a game ends? And I'm kind of like, yeah, you know. But also, you know, there is that talk that the basketball is the much tougher sport to officiate than maybe the NFL or some other sports. What do you guys think about that? About it being just a tougher sport to officiate?
I think football would be a tougher sport. Basketball, you got your two sideline refs, your back ref that watches the backcourt. I mean, you got three of them. Yeah, I know it's hard to keep your eyes on the ball and, you know, the off-ball fouls, but most of those refs, they watch the ball player with the ball. They watch it unfold because their plays are set design. Compared to NFL, once that snap of the ball, everything's different.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of late whistles in the NBA here lately, NCAA, all that in basketball. I mean, it's just that was a foul, and they're getting ready to run down court. There's a whistle.
Some late whistles I'm okay with. There was one a week or so ago where, you know, the contact was marginal. It should be a foul, but it was marginal. And, you know, if he makes the basket, play on, let's go. If he misses the basket, he got fouled enough to, you know what I mean? It's like, it wasn't, there are some gray area foul calls where I'm like, okay, that's cool, play on, or yes, but late, that's fine. But then there are some where it's just obvious to play.
Well, I think it was last weekend during one of the tournament games. They went to the replay booth like four times within the matter of 2 minutes and then went to commercials.
Yeah.
And it's like, come on, these guys are stopping the flow of the game.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And as a fan, that really just interests me and almost makes me want to tune out because of that sometimes.
You can obviously tell when there's something more to games because you watch one game and it's free flowing. The correct fouls are called, and it's just a normal basketball game. But then you get a game like Lakers and Golden State, Lakers and Boston, two big names, lots of people watching it, kind of has something on the line or something. And there's calls where you're like, you weren't making that call in the first half. Why are we making this call now? Or vice versa. Yeah. And the game can be super physical in the first three quarters, and then all of a sudden at the end, it's like, we're calling every single foul for that now. It's like, what? Yeah. And I know it's tough because they're like, oh, well, it's human judgment, and they can make mistakes and this and that. But at the same time, it's easy to see when there is no consistency, especially in the NBA.
Oh, yeah.
Feels like the NBA is just pushing for a Golden State Laker Western Conference final.
They're pushing for who?
Golden State Lakers.
I don't think they're pushing for that. I think they're pushing for them to be in so that you can have
more viewers.
Seven game first round series with Lakers, Nuggets, and Warriors Thunder or something like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
More games, more TV, more revenue.
Big city names, big good teams, you know.
Yeah. That's all it comes down to. Revenue,
TV revenue. One sport I do like to watch that I feel like is fairly, you know, I haven't watched a lot of it, so maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like hockey's fairly called fairly evenly. I feel like they just kind of let it go. I haven't really seen anything that is like I'm sitting there shaking my head like it's absolutely wild. There's no way you can call that. But
and you really don't see much of it in highlights or even brought up
right
about the hockey referees.
Every other week you see something with basketball where it's like and you know there's not a thing with hockey officials where they're like you're not the star of the show, and people say that all the time about the NFL and NBA.
Yep.
But yeah, going to Kelly Oubre. I believe that's who you're talking about, Kelly Oubre with the Sixers or the Wizards.
Sixers.
Yeah, it's
Kelly Oubre Jr. Yeah,
he got fouled, man. Like, it's plain and simple. And they can sit there and be like, well, we didn't see it. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And then I hate the rules where it's like, oh, we didn't call it this way, so you can't challenge the call. It's like, why can't I challenge a call when I know that you missed something? Like, you should easily be able to go back to a replay and see it. And there's the reason you can't do that is because it's safeguards and the way that they are able to go around to call the games.
Yep.
You know, it's like, hey, you know, do this, you do this. You just have to be able to have it in the situation where you can say you can't go back and challenge it. It is what it is. It sucks, but at the end of the day, it's a business.
Yeah. It's all about that money, that revenue.
They're going to make every choice they need to make the most money.
Speaking of, before we go on to a different segment, did you guys want to go back and pick winners for the Sweet 16?
Well, I'm going to go with Arizona. I think they're going to pull it out.
It's halftime right now, 39-31. Arizona's down.
I think they'll pull it out. I'll go UConn, obviously. I'll go Houston in a close one with Duke. I'll go Marquette by 10+. I'll go Purdue. I'll just say Purdue over Gonzaga. I'm going to go Creighton over Tennessee. Arizona over Clemson, and I'll go UNC over Bama.
I'll take Arizona. UConn, most definitely. I would like to see Alabama upset North Carolina.
I mean, I would too, but
Illinois, I think, will knock out Iowa State.
Agreed.
And then Marquette, if they keep playing the way they're playing, you know, they had a good run last year. Coach has been in this position before, so I'll take them. Purdue, Zach Edney, he's hard to stop once he gets going. If he gets a double-double by halftime, it's, and if Purdue shooters can perform, that's where that will help them. I think Houston could knock off, you know, take Duke out. Creighton, I don't know. I have to go with them because they're a good shooting team. Once they catch fire, and towards the end of the year, they caught fire. So that's what got them in, you know, a good seed where they're at.
Yeah. I want to just, when I look at Tennessee and how close of a game that was with Texas, like, Texas does have good talent on their roster, especially in the spots that they have the talent. But Tennessee should have beat them by a little bit more.
Tennessee should have made it a lot further of a run instead of it being so
Tennessee close. Had a lot of turnovers too, didn't they?
They had a big lead in the beginning. Texas kind of came back from it, but that's where I kind of go into the zone of, like, how good is their mental toughness if they're not playing well? How well are they going to be able to, you know, stay in a game that is a grind wire to wire? Because they kind of collapsed in that final 15-ish minutes versus Texas.
Yeah, about the 13-minute mark, it seemed like they were gassed.
Yeah.
MLB opening day is today. A lot of games already kicked off earlier. Some of the big ones we'll talk about. Yankees beat the Astros 5-4. All eyes on the LA Dodgers. They beat the St. Louis Cardinals 7-1. And then currently right now, the Cubs are up 1-0 to the World Series defending champs, the Rangers. They're in the bottom of the second right now. You can catch that game live on ESPN. Who's got more pressure on them this year? I know everybody's picking the Dodgers. It seems like everybody has got their eyes on the Dodgers this year.
As far as pressure?
Yeah.
Pressure is the Dodgers, 100%.
Yeah, with all that money they spent.
All the money they've spent, they're spending more money as the days go on. Expectations, I think it's a little bit different. I think pressure for sure is Dodgers. Expectations, not really sure. I don't know.
I want to say San Diego Padres. They have a lot of expectations because they didn't perform last year like they should have.
I mean, if I'm not mistaken, I believe the Rangers didn't lose much, if I'm not mistaken. So if you want to say expectations, I mean, it's got to fall on the defending champs, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But pressure is for sure the Dodgers.
Yeah. If you're in New York, people would say the Yankees, you know.
Oh, yeah. They're going through their second longest drought of a World Series in history. The last time I think they had like a 21 year drought back in like the 1900s.
Yeah.
So like, I mean,
the pressure's on them. I mean, a little bit too, because
I feel like if they don't even make it to a World Series this year, they got to just clean house.
They didn't even make it to the playoffs last year. I'm surprised they didn't clean house, but they went and got Juan Soto. But I mean, if Judge and him can stay healthy, you know, because Soto's going to bat before Judge. It'll help out a little bit, but I mean,
at the same time, I don't know how much longer Judge is on the hook for a contract, but he's 31, you know, and he's
having ankle and knee issues.
Yeah, he's one of the top in the game, so you know, if they don't have a good year, he might be trying to find a way out by next year.
I mean, Mike Trout hit the first home run of the opening season today. So
did he really?
Yeah. Left field.
Old Trout.
Yeah. And that guy stayed with the Angels, and they ain't been to the playoffs in forever. He's a lifer.
Watch the Angels have a historic run this year after they get rid of Shohei.
Yeah. I can see it happening. You know, that'd make Trout happy.
I wouldn't say historic. We'll say they have a good run.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's baseball. We'll keep eyes on it. Baseball's
a long season,
man. It's one of, you know, as far as games, it is the longest. A lot of games typically don't mean anything. You can watch, you know, you have a doubleheader or whatever on a Saturday, but
Rangers Rangers Cubs go at it today, and then they go at it again on Saturday.
Yeah. So I mean, it's like there's just so many games where it's like, you kind of get into a numb part of the season where it's like, it's all right, you know. Like,
yeah.
The first week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, you're like, okay, yeah, baseball's back. Then you go into a numb period where it's like, okay, we lost a game, it's fine. We can lose another game, another game. But you get into that all-star break kind of right after it, and it's like, okay.
Yeah, after the all-star break, after July.
You can't lose these games. You can't. Yeah. You got to really kind of pay attention, and you have to. You know.
Kevin, we talked about this a few weeks ago. I think it was on the very first episode. Baseball is just a long season. Like, what, 182 games?
162.
I think it was the longest. Well, I mean, I know there's obviously other sports that are probably seasonally, like, days longer. But, I mean, 328, you had the preseason going on for a couple weeks too, and then they don't end until the 10th month of the year. You know, it's you're going essentially 7 months of baseball, and you know, football is only August to February, so you know, about 5.5, 6 months.
6 months.
So,
and I mean,
it's a grind.
Baseball ends towards like October. That's where that hump for October, and that's when it gets interesting.
Yeah.
As long as the standings are close, as long as teams are close within each other, that's what makes it interesting.
A lot of teams are still going through some pro days as the draft is slowly approaching. We still have about a month until the NFL draft. Drake May had a lot of eyes on him today, and it looks like he's jumped up to the second best quarterback in the draft. Some are saying he might be the best quarterback in this year's draft. Some people are saying he might be following to the New England Patriots right there in the first round. Have you guys been keeping up with some pro days? Anybody been, you know, splashing your eyes lately? Also, Michael Penix.
Yeah, Penix caught my eye today.
Yeah, he had a good pro day. So,
yeah, I haven't really been.
Jaden Daniels, he's looking like he might be also. It looks like it's between Jaden Daniels and Drake May, who might be taken right after Caleb Williams.
Yeah.
I would go May. I mean, he's that NFL. Yeah, but Drake May to me has that NFL typical style play. You know, because he played for North Carolina. They weren't one of the best teams in college football. But I mean, he performed. And he didn't really have nobody.
I mean, let's look at the last couple quarterbacks that have really gone out and had like the insane amount of numbers that Jaden Daniels had to him to get the Heisman this year. And you look at, you know, the ones that have gone on to the NFL, and not many of them are good in the NFL. I mean, Kyler, Baker, you know, it took Baker a while. He got out of a terrible situation, but
I think the latest
RG3.
The latest one to really, you know, show out is I just had his name from Cincinnati, Joe Burrow.
Burrow. Yeah. I mean, you like Burrow's been good. He's got elite receivers around him. A couple. Tyler Boyd's pretty good.
I think they would have been right back in the AFC Championship mix this year if he didn't get hurt. Now it's going to be interesting to see what they do without the running game. I don't know why they released Joe Nixon. I really don't. But I think Cincinnati is still that team that can. I think Cincinnati is Patrick Mahomes' kryptonite.
Yeah, I mean, they beat him the 1 year, but I don't know about kryptonite.
Joe Burrow's got to stay healthy.
Patrick Mahomes adding Hollywood Brown, I think, is a it's on the radar, but I think it's a little bit lower than it needs to be. When Marquise Brown was elite at Oklahoma, he was elite. I mean, that's he's got speed. He's got good hands. He can fly. Now he's not Tyreek. Tyreek was a little bit different. He was a freak with speed and he was just. He had good gravitational, you know, balance. And so Tyreek's one of a kind when it comes to that. But I think
you got to look at who was throwing to Marquise Hollywood Brown back in the day. You know, okay, you've had Lamar throwing it to him. You know, Kyler Murray was throwing to him as well. Yeah,
but even when he was with Kyler, Kyler wasn't fully healthy. They didn't have a really good line. The defense was kind of bad. You had Kingsbury. Kingsbury's no Andy Reid, you know, so and Kyler's no Patrick Mahomes, if we're being honest, NFL wise. But
there's a big high difference too, you know.
I it's gonna be interesting to see what Hollywood Brown does with an actual quarterback. I say actual quarterback very loosely, with a pass happy system that relies on wide receivers being great.
Yeah.
You know, with a great quarterback thrown to you. So
I think the NFL trolls out there, I'm already upset seeing people are already out there crowning the Kansas City Chiefs as three-peat champs. I'm like, come on, guys. And that season hadn't even started yet. Like, there's a lot that can change.
It's a long season, man.
Injuries, people can get let go. Like, all kinds of things can happen. But
I mean,
the only way I feel they three-peat, they get in the playoffs, they're a hard team to beat in the playoffs. You know.
I think the only way they can three-peat is A, they stay all healthy, forced to promos. Yep. That's the only way most teams can win. But I think
they need another receiver.
I'm sure the referees will help them out too.
I don't want to say anything about Buffalo until Buffalo can prove that they.
Well, Buffalo's a joke.
Have it. They're the San Diego Chargers of the Peyton Manning and Tom Brady era. Like they get there, but they can't do anything. They have an elite offense. They have an elite quarterback. But at the end of the day, you're not able to win those games for whatever reason.
The Baltimore Ravens, A, if Lamar would have showed up, and B, there was a lot of non-holding calls against the Kansas City Chiefs offensive line.
Speaking
Baltimore,
of refs.
Baltimore would have went to the Super Bowl. That's how close that game was.
I think Baltimore needs A, well, first off, Baltimore's going to have two really good tight ends this year because Isaiah Likely showed up and showed out towards the last part of that year. So you have him and you have Mark Andrews. You're going to be able to run more double tight end sets. likely is a better pass blocker, run blocker than Mark Andrews.
And you got Henry in the back. You got Henry in the backfield now too.
Yeah, added Mark.
So they're going to load that box.
Yeah. So I mean, if they're able to go, you know, kind of what the Tennessee did, where you're able to do downhill, you know,
and they got the O line to do it.
The old, you know, go 12-man formation, one wide receiver, two tight ends, running back, fullback, because they have a good fullback as well. You do that, and then Lamar play actions off of that. It's a recipe for success this year for him.
Yeah, because I mean, Gus Edwards led the league in touchdowns for the Ravens because of that O line.
Yeah, yeah, they got. Baltimore has. If you want to look at,
they have the right recipe to win.
Yeah, they have the recipe to win. I believe if they stay healthy. Baltimore has had a big issue of staying healthy.
Yeah.
Another thing, a lot of people, I got to bring him up. I got to bring him up at least once a week. Dak Prescott's contract still hasn't been renewed. The draft is approaching. Do we see any big surprises and dropping like incidents happening with those guys? Or is it just a matter of they're reconstructing to make this a massive deal? Because it seems like as we get closer to the draft, I got to release some stress, and I don't know what to do. Because it's like if you let Dak go, I feel like you're still setting yourself back another 5 years.
But if you keep Dak, you're stuck in the same hole you've been the last 5 years.
Yeah, I think what Jerry Jones is doing as an owner, which you know him, Crazy Jerry. I think he's going to let McCarthy and Dak play out this year and see what they do.
And like, I know everybody was super upset. Dallas didn't bring anybody in, you know, with like big names. You got to go back and look. Kevin, you're a Green Bay fan. That's just not what Mike McCarthy does as a head coach. He builds in the draft. He builds, you know, unproven players. So I'm hoping with the release of Tony Pollard, you know, some people are even like bringing Zeke back. I don't think we need Zeke. I think let's trust Mike McCarthy. Let's trust his system. He's only in year, four or five?
I believe four or five.
He's already won more games in 4 years than Jason Garrett did in almost like 10. And, I mean, let's – come on now. Like, we were talking about a franchise who kept Jason Garrett for 10 years. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Well, let's be honest. Jason Garrett, it's a part of the family. And that's probably one of the only reasons he stuck around that long.
That's true. But, I mean, you also have great coaches in there that had came in and Jerry Jones just wouldn't even give him the time of day. Bill Parcells, Wade Phillips. Like, these guys stuck around. Bill Parcells wasn't even around long enough to have a cup of coffee. I mean, like, he didn't even give him time to do what he had planned in to do. So, I don't know. I think...
So you're saying that he doesn't give some people enough time, gives others too much time. He
gives the yes men too much time, and the people who want to run things their own way and try to win a championship, he doesn't give them enough time.
And hence why they haven't won in 30-something years.
Yeah. So I'm a little optimistic.
I wish they would have hired Rex Ryan as their defensive coordinator.
I think Rex Ryan is all talk. I think Mike Zimmer was the better hire. I like Mike McCarthy as a head coach. I hated him at Green Bay, but he'd proven and did what he needed to do to win in Green Bay. People are saying he had a Hall of Fame quarterback, but, I mean, look at the defenses that he built. Look at some of the running backs that he, you know. It was Mike McCarthy as the offensive guru. Aaron Rodgers didn't have the same numbers after Mike McCarthy left.
No.
So, this is Dak's, you know, this is only going to be his second full year in that Mike McCarthy system after letting go Kellen Moore, which was a stupid another stupid hire. He kept around too long. So, I don't know. I think Dak is still the guy. I really do. I just think he just needs a little bit more Mike McCarthy juice.
I don't know. There was a lot of winning moments last year that Dak did not step up to the plate.
A lot of winning moments where he sealed the deal and the defense let a player or two go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's where that Trayvon Diggs being injured kind of hurt him.
That's true.
I mean, that really put it down. You know, you got Parsons. He's a Lawrence Taylor type of player. He's going to go down probably as one of the best defensive players Dallas ever had.
What do you guys think of the NFL rule change about the hip tackle is no longer a recognized tackle? It's 15 yards. You think it's good? Are we 5 years away from flag football?
No, I agree. I mean, yeah.
The hip tackle is it's not a formed tackle. Like you're trying to whip somebody down by cutting their legs off with your body, and yeah. It's kind of a chicken way out to tackle somebody.
When I was playing football, I was taught to wrap them up. That's how you do it, you know.
But in their defense, the last time I played, a lot of these rules weren't around. Where you had to watch out for the head, you had to stay up over the body, and all this and that and the other. It's tough for these players to tackle without trying to get something, and so they find a way to get somebody down by not launching at them or doing this, that, and the other, and then they're like, can't do that either. We're protecting our investment. But then when they ask for all grass fields, the owners are like, no, because that's money out of the owner's pockets. It's not a simple change. So the owners are trying to protect their investments, their players, because they have all this money in these contracts. But then at the end of the day, when the player suggests something for player safety, they want no part of it and they won't vote on it, which.
And now you got all these defensive players that got to change their game, change how they tackle, how they play.
Because like I said,
go ahead.
You can't launch. Launching from the get-go was already bad. We saw the biggest launch I can remember is Major Wright when he laid out, I believe, as Iglesias down the sideline in the 08 National Championship. Obviously, it was pass interference because he was there early, but he also launched and just like went straight to the head. Like, those are hits that don't need to be in the game. But more so in the middle of the field, you can't go up towards the head because you're afraid you're going to get a 15-yarder. So what do? You go for the legs, you wrap up, you get them down. And now that's taken away. So it'll be interesting to see how players adjust again.
Is it – I don't know if they announce it, but is it an automatic 15 or are there going to be two different kinds like there used to be back in the day with holding? Now, you know, is there going to be like a 5-yard? Oh, that was kind of a half wrap-up takedown. Or nope, 15 full whip takedown.
Who knows?
Yeah, and you know these rule changes that they're doing that where they're hurting defenses. That just tells you the NFL is more offensive oriented now.
Essentially, doing what the NBA did in the early 2000s. Yeah, getting right from the hip check and the two hands. Yeah.
What do you guys see first? You guys think in the next 10 years, this will be something like arena football where they kind of change it up, or do you think it'll be more like maybe flag football in 10 years?
I think in 10 years, it's 10 years is weird because we would say in 10 years ago and think the sport would be drastically different, which
it is.
It kind of is.
Yeah.
But I mean, we thought it would be flag football by now, 10 years ago. You know what I mean?
So yeah. It's a different form of flag football, but this time yellow flags.
I do believe it's going to get to the point to where the players and the owners are going to have to agree on something, and it's either going to completely collapse what the NFL is, or it's going to go back the opposite way. And they're going to make it to where players sign and say, you know, I'm choosing to play football this way. And I'm not going to come back in 20, 30 years and try to sue you like maybe some of the other players. I don't know. But there's going to be a compromise in the middle. I think it's either going to go drastically towards flag football or arena football, or it's going to start to go back to the way it was, But somebody's going to have to sign and say, yes, I'm choosing to play football this way.
It almost seems possible. Go ahead. I was just going to say the way the rules and tackling are changing, it feels like they're trying to move away from the running game and phase out running backs and just spread and pass all day.
Trying to do a 7-on-7.
Because if you have a big running back like Derrick Henry coming right towards you, you got two ways to tackle him. They almost are taking away those two different ways to tackle him. Because if you kind of go head-to-head, you can't do that really anymore if you lean with your head. And then if you try to take Derrick Henry out by the waist or the knees, now that's a flag too. So
yeah.
And the way these running backs are getting paid, it's like, let's just phase out that position. Let's just almost make it 8-on-8.
The NFL, it seems like they're trying to turn every game now with all these rules to the Pro Bowl.
Yeah.
Like a Pro Bowl type of feel. You know, don't touch them, you know. Because they make the money. They're the face of the games, you know, certain players.
What's going to happen, though, was it the XFL or whatever?
Yeah.
Is that still what's coming around?
It's the UFL or something like that now.
Well, they're like combined. They don't have nearly – they kind of have the same rule set, but it's not as prominent of the way NFL is pushing out these rules. Like, yes, they had the NFL – or the kickoff change way before the NFL did. They're trying to mitigate things in areas they can, but they're also allowing the game to be played kind of the way it's normally played. You know, and I know people are going to say, well, you know, change isn't always bad. You know, it's for the greater good of their health. But at the same time, it's like
you know what you signed up for.
You don't see baseball changing. Oh, you can't slide into first because you might hit their ankle. You know what I mean? Like, it's a part of the game to be.
Or you can't dive head first.
Right. You can't. You know, basketball is trying to do the flagrant fouls where if you hit them upside the head or something, which. LeBron gets a slap on the head and they're like, oh, let's go take a replay. Like, come on, dude.
He used that flopping for Space Jam, you know, so.
it sucks. Personally, I have a different opinion about where things will be in 10 years, but, you know, we'll see. I think either everybody's going to go to be a basketball, baseball, hockey fan, and football is just going to get phased out, which it's hard to say that because football is is the prominent sport in America.
Yeah. Yep.
But it's the prominent sport because of the way it's played. And if they change the way that it's played and change the complete identity of what football is, and it turns into arena football, people watch arena football, yes, but at some point people are going to realize this is not anything remotely close to what I used to cheer for, and it's going to lose a lot of viewers.
It's not what we grew up on, and once that happens, that it will change a lot of things. You'll lose a lot of viewers, you know.
Or they might be like, hey, we're losing this generation, but here comes this young generation who's going to be accustomed to this style of football. And I mean, let's take a look at it. Like, their viewership, their TV ratings are still 40, 50, 60, 70 million viewers a game, and that's just regular season games.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
But I think, like I
said, if it keeps changing, you'll see a drop in those views.
I think once the NFL sees the dollar signs leave, they will not care about player safety. They're trying to find that midpoint to where they can keep doing player safety.
How far can we push it?
We start losing people? And they're which I mean is kind of good, because as long as we're watching the game and it's not bad, you know, it's getting there. The games have been pretty bad lately, but as long as it's watchable and they don't lose the player base, they don't care what they change. They'll change whatever they think is necessary.
I agree with that.
It's all about the dollars. But you know what a week. You know, we just got no spring break, Sweet 16, MLB opening day, WrestleMania season's right around the corner, in NFL draft. So a lot of people are like, it's not that peak sports season. There's some pretty good golf tournaments going on right now too. I believe women's softball is kicking off pretty good, pretty hot.
NHL's getting ready to start their playoff run.
Yeah. Speaking of, before we get into some WWE talk, Craig, have you been to the new OU women's softball facility yet?
Going there April 13th and April 20th to watch them play BYU in Houston. So that will be my first experience with either softball facility. I've every year I always say I want to go. And then by the time I had kind of money or like the want to like go to a game, because I've been keeping up with OU softball since like 2012, 2013. They had that big run in 2015, I believe, when they won the championship. So, I mean, I've been keeping up with them for a long time, but it's like, I'll go next year or I'll go when I have a daughter. Because it's like, I can watch them at home and not be like, feel weird about it.
Well, it's also like fighting the crowd, fighting the heat, yeah. Maybe.
Yeah.
The drive time. We don't have time for that no more.
And, I was like, I'll go to a Women's College World Series game next year. And that next year was COVID. And so after that, prices skyrocketed. OU became really good, went on that big run. So I haven't really been able to go and watch them, but I got some tickets. I'm going to take Adley, and we're going to go check them out two weekends in a row.
Nice. You'll definitely have to come back with a on-the-field report. Let us know how everything looks and smells and the feel of everything.
It looks good. Stadium looks really good.
Oh, yeah.
There's a few things where I'm like, it looks kind of weird. Like the TV in the back, when you're looking at the pitch, it kind of looks like it's off-center. And so it looks kind of weird, but like I said, the stadium looks great. OU Men's Stadium looked pretty good when we drove by it the other day. But, number one in the Big 12, number one in the country for softball. Big 12, I know we were number one. Last week, we did lose to West Virginia a couple times. We smacked them the first game and lost the next two. So we're a stickball school now. We're pretty good. Gymnastics.
Oh, you guys are pretty good. I was about to say, gymnastics been out there doing their thing too.
Not only did they win the Big 12.
They broke a record.
They set the highest record of all time in that win in the Big 12 championship, which it was like 198.95 or something like that, which is insane because, like you do all these events, which means you can only be off by like a couple tenths in each event for each person to have that accumulated score be that high. So she had 3 tens out of like 4 events, Jordan Bowers. So pretty good. Pretty good. We'll see what happens when they get to the championships. But that's all I got. I'll come back and I'll tell you guys how the stadium looks.
Yeah.
All right, man. You gonna stick around for some Raw talk?
Around. Yeah.
It was one of the most highest viewed, rated, most attended shows in recent memory. This past episode of Raw was a banger. Kevin, did you get to check it out?
I didn't get to check it out, but I've caught some highlights. So
man, we'll run through it. I only got to check the Hulu version out. They rearranged the entire stage because of how many tickets they sold. They made everything a smaller stage. Michael Cole even said it on TV. It's the 11th straight sellout for a TV show that they've had. They haven't had these numbers since the Attitude Era. And we're on the road to WrestleMania. Yeah, true. But The Rock has made his presence felt, and he's making this show watchable. He's making it edgy. Cody Rhodes kicked off with a promo to open up the show. The Rock interrupted him, which the place just went bananas because he wasn't even scheduled or televised. You also have the CM Punk. If you guys, did you check out the promo, the three-way promo with CM Punk, Seth Rollins, and Drew McIntyre?
Yeah. Yeah.
That was gold.
I think Drew McIntyre is doing some of his best work right now.
I think all three of them are. And you know what? For everybody out there who's like, CM Punk is injury prone. He's not living up to nothing. He was a cancer. He's putting up, I think he's also a big reason for some of these numbers. And then whenever he's on TV, He just he still talks like he hasn't left in years. I like how they're teasing a Seth Rollins heel turn. You know, the darker clothes he's wearing, the faces he's making when people leave his presence. I don't think he's going to turn anybody on Mania. I think they're going to save that for the Monday night afterwards.
Yeah.
You know, they also tease that CM Punk could be a special guest commentator for the World Championship match between Drew McIntyre and Seth Rollins. We're talking about some great promos, but they also will run through some of the matches. They're still teasing Candice LeRae's darkness. She's beating up on almost everybody she gets in the ring with. DIY and the New Day, a dream match maybe 5 or 6 years ago, but they finally had a pretty good contest on Raw. It ended in a no contest with a big brawl. Everybody get ready for the ladder man match for the tag team titles at WrestleMania. What do you think about Becky Lynch and the Rhea Ripley promo? Did Becky Lynch actually shed some real tears?
I don't know, but she sure hit the hell out of Dominic.
She hit him pretty hard.
Yeah, I mean,
you can definitely tell she hit the entire jaw.
I've watched it in slow motion. I was like, oh. I wonder if Seth Rollins gets beat up like that at home.
Yep. This is interesting. Bronson Reed defeated Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn is challenging Gunther for his historic Intercontinental Championship reign. But Sami's losing on the way to Mania. So kind of setting that up pretty interesting.
Yeah. Mania, like I said, there's going to be I don't see Sami winning.
Jey Uso went off against Nakamura. They gave Jey Uso the win. Seems like after Mania, they're just going to skyrocket his ass. I would not be surprised if he gets Money in the Bank. Jey, I think everything is going to be coming to Jey in the next few years. And then the show ended with a brawl. Cody Rhodes and the Bloodline, and then The Rock out of nowhere in the back. He just... You know, they fed him everything. The Rock was this big, bad monster. He kicked the shit out of Cody Rhodes.
Yeah.
Took him outside, put him in the rain, kicked his ass. Actually said the F word on TV, but it was obviously bleeped out. Man.
His weight belt that said Mama Rhodes, you know, that.
Yeah.
A full heel.
Attitude Era is back.
Yeah, they're pushing a lot of stuff. I think there's some talk that when they hit the Netflix, should Raw be TV-14 again or TVMA? They're certainly flirting with the idea, but that's still 10 months away, let's say. So
yeah,
it was overall a pretty good Raw. I think it's the best Raw I've ever seen in maybe 10 years, maybe longer. Is it, and a lot of people are like, is it just happening because we're a few weeks away from WrestleMania, or will it continue after? Man, I think the way Papa Triple H is doing things, I think he's going to continue to keep going.
Don't ruin something you got going good. You know, they're in control, you know.
Yeah.
No Vince, I think that's one of the best things they're doing right now. You know, a lot of their shows. Even their SmackDowns, everything that they've been doing, their pay-per-views, you know, it's Triple H is trying to bring people back to the seats again, you know, get some viewerships up.
He's doing it. 11 straight sellouts. And this past sellout, they had to rearrange their entire staging area.
Yeah.
Insane.
Yeah, and, you know, maybe they are trying to go back to that era because Triple H is from that era. That's where
that era, yeah.
You know, that's... You know, he was around in the later stages after the Attitude Era, but that's when he was brought in. That's what he you know, that's what he grinded in. That's what he did to get into stardom. So,
yeah, him and DX, that, you know, that attitude. If he can do shit like that, running it, good numbers. And
yeah. So, yeah, like you said, Johnny, they don't need to push the boundary to push away the audience that doesn't want that stuff. But I do think if they make it a little more on the line where it's not too far, but it's kind of there, you're going to encapture both audiences.
Yeah.
The ratings are going to go up because if it's too PG, you're going to lose people. If it's too hard, you're going to lose people.
Yeah.
You got to push that envelope a little bit. You got to push that envelope just a little bit.
I think as early as next week, guys, we'll try to come on and have a conversation with you guys on Monday or Tuesday. And then for sure, next Friday, April the 5th, we'll talk Final Four. And then the rest of that show is going to be dedicated strictly to WrestleMania weekend. So it'll be pretty fun. Next week, we'll talk our top five favorite WrestleMania shows. We'll talk Final Four. But right now, guys, Arizona is still down to Clemson 53-48 with 11:55 left in the second quarter. UConn is up 40-31 at halftime. I think it's time for us to get off here and watch some good basketball. You guys have anything else you want to kind of mention or talk about before we get out of here?
No, I'm good.
No, I mean, just kind of, you know, there's a lot of stuff that has to be played out, MVP, Rookie of the Year, and NBA. U.S. was just in the, was it the CONCACAF?
Cup or whatever,
which I think they just, didn't they win it?
Yes, they won it. It was their first
Texas,
one.
In Texas. So congrats to them. But yeah, I mean, we'll try to keep up with as many sports as we can. This is kind of the portion of the year where things are dying down, where you're getting into the good playoff era. Things are ramping up. Obviously, WrestleMania is right around the corner, March Madness. So there's a lot to keep up with, a lot to a lot to keep your eyes on the TV and pay attention to. So try to do as much as we can, but you know, in the long run, it's just there's a lot. So.
Oh yeah, and then Easter's this Sunday. Anybody got some big Easter plans?
Gonna go to church, you know,
you gonna hide some eggs?
For the kiddos.
Yeah.
But you know,
that's work,
not
so.
That's not what Easter's mainly for, you know what I mean? You gotta go there and you gotta see what, you know, if you don't know what it's for, check it out. You know, it's there's a reason there's a thing called Easter Sunday, so
Easter, yeah, I got to work that night too, so it'll kind of be, I'll celebrate most of it on Saturday, go to church on Sunday. I'm also going to celebrate Easter with Friday. That's the next movie we're talking about this Sunday on the movie portion of the Cinema Movie Podcast. We'll talk Friday, Ice Cube, Chris Tucker, this Sunday, 6 p.m., Easter Sunday, March 31st, so... other than that, guys, I think we'll see everybody sports-wise next Monday or Tuesday. Keep a lookout for that early episode. We'll talk some more basketball and then next Friday. So if anybody else has anything, I think that'll be it. So
that's it for me.
Yep. Have a good Easter weekend, everybody.
You too. Y'all be safe.